It is Monday, April 8th. I'm Scott Seidenberg.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
We crown a champion tonight.
And Coach Calipari on the move?
Here comes the Vegas Truth.
This is Straight Out of Vegas.
We are Straight Out of Vegas AM, your daily destination for sports conversation with a Vegas lean. Here's what you need to know to start your day.
UConn and Purdue face off for the national championship tonight, Scott.
South Carolina finishes an unbeaten season, beating Iowa for the women's title.
And John Calipari leaving Kentucky for Arkansas? What is the Vegas lead?
It's all college basketball. We had the women's championship yesterday, Final Four on Saturday in the men's game. Very chalky Purdue and UConn winning, setting up the matchup that we all kind of expected with Purdue and UConn.
And let's face it, we all wanted. We all wanted,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. I as much as NC State was a tremendous story, and I loved betting on them every step of the way, from the money that they won me during the ACC tournament to just riding them throughout the first three games in the NCAA tournament, it was time for their Cinderella run to end. So I'm glad that I'm glad Purdue outlasted them, and I'm glad that we have the matchup that we wanted, which is Purdue. A team that was upset by a 16 seed last year, much like Virginia was, and then they go to the national championship game the year after, and they face off against the defending champs, a team that is on an 11-0 ATS run in the NCAA tournament, which is unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. This is the matchup that I wanted, and you're right. Like, Purdue has a chance to redeem their story, much like Virginia did a couple years ago, after losing to a 16 seed in the first round. And this UConn has a chance to really establish themselves as one of the greatest teams of all time, given what they put out a year ago and then have followed it up with, and really just being dominant the entirety of that time. Like, every postseason game has just been a drubbing. It would be hard not to consider them one of the best ever. So, I was in the camp that said Houston was as good as anyone in the country. They're not here. This is the next best matchup. This is the matchup of the, you know, outside of Houston, the two best teams in the country. And both of them have great stories. I think it's a fantastic finish to the season.
Yeah, and we get to see Zach Edey against Donovan Clingan. It's going to be a great matchup there. you know, we did not cash our mega same-game parlay plus for the Final Four. Edey finished with 12 rebounds. We needed him to have 14. And Donovan Clingan didn't even come close to 10 rebounds. I mean, they kept – Alabama kept him away from the basket a lot during that game. And I think for Purdue, and the reason why Edey didn't get his rebounds – is they just didn't want to go in on DJ Burns. Like, they were using Edey in a high screen and roll. And I wonder if that's going to be the strategy for going against Donovan Clingan, where they don't want to attack inside and instead use Edey in a high pick and roll and bring Clingan away from the net.
I mean, that's entirely possible. I had a couple of these, these player props. I've done really well with player props in this tournament. This weekend was tough, or the Final Four round was tough. I did have DJ Burns under points, which that was nice. But Zach Edey over rebounds at halftime, it felt like it was a lock. I mean, he was just, I think he had 10 rebounds at halftime or 9 rebounds, and Braden Smith had 5 assists. He needed 7. I mean, so to lose both of those was tough. Yeah, they did a really good job of containing Donovan Clingan. The thing is, with this matchup of bigs, I think both teams believe they've got the better big man, and both teams are going to play big man basketball. This is going to be a real rock fight type of game, because I really do believe both these coaches think they've got the better man down in the paint. And I mean, it's hard. Listen, Zach Edey's not pulling a lot of guys out of the paint because his range is 3 feet. And Donovan Clingan's not going to look to bring Edey out of the paint either, because he's going to feel like he's got the quicker moves and he's going to be able to, unlike, you know, what we saw with DJ Burns, it's going to be a lot easier for Donovan Klingon to get shots up, because this is the, it's finally a man who's his size. In fact, this is the first time in the history of the national championship game that there's two guys 7 foot two or bigger going head to head in the game, at least starters who are 7'2" or bigger. And it happens to be the two stars of the show here. Although UConn, let's face it, has had a hell of a cast, and it's hard to say one man is the star, but Donovan Klingon certainly the name that you're getting heard. It's being heard the most right now.
So opened up as UConn, a 5-point favorite, total of 147.5. We have a current consensus of 7 points for UConn and 145.5. So the total has been hit down.
Yeah, and it's not surprising when you look at the pace that these two teams play at. I mean, UConn, one of the slowest teams in the country, Purdue in the bottom half of pace. And, you know, both of these teams, that it's a lot of, they don't worry about transition. They want to get down half court, get set. And again, these are two also very good defenses. UConn, an elite defense, particularly in the paint, which, you know, Purdue's going to shoot. They're going to shoot. But we saw in the Alabama game, UConn's not going to let you have easy threes either. Going to be some great matchups on the glass. Like I think this is going to be, like I said, a grimy game, which means the unders was my favorite look early on. I got a 147. 145, and I mean, now once you lose 3 points on the total, it's hard for me to want to still, you know, recommend it. But at 145.5, if I had to choose a side, I'd still play the under.
Which is interesting, because the total goes down, but the spread goes up. So UConn is now a 7-point favorite with the total going down. Like, what's your read into that movement?
Well, my read is that I think that if I had to, like, one play on this game, I think Purdue's team total under may be the way to go. You know, this is going to be a matchup that Edie hasn't seen. We've seen Edie just grab the ball, turn around.
69.5 for Purdue.
I mean, just turn around, lay it in. It's been so easy for him. It's not, this is, Donovan Klingon is elite defensively. He's more agile than Zach Edey. He's faster than Zach Edey. And he's just a better defensive player than Zach Edey has dealt with this season. So when you've got a guy who's used to just, like I say, turning around, dropping into the basket, that's not going to happen in this game. Mm-hmm. I think that Purdue's offense is really going to be 3-point reliant. And I don't know that that's ideal. Obviously they've built their whole season around getting the ball to the big man and making things happen. But listen, when you look at what this Connecticut team has done in the NCAA tournament so far, like, there's no denying how strong they have been defensively. Alabama put up 72 on them. Nice. Certainly when you consider what Alabama is, like, that's a good number, but not nearly Alabama numbers. And nobody else has, like, touched 60 against them. And when you think about the pace that Alabama plays at, it's like, oh, it kind of makes sense. They got at least in the 70s, but I mean, no one's getting up around this number with them. And Purdue's not going to, they're not a team that's going to go up tempo. So I don't see them, you know, getting up over this, you know, 65, 66 points. It seems like a tall task for me. So, probably my favorite play on the entire, at least on the side, like, just looking at the sides, would be Purdue's team total.
What I thought impressed me about NC State, is that they didn't foul Zach Edey. I mean, Edey, he shot.
They did a good job
throws.
With that. Yeah, they also did the refs did a good job of letting them play a little bit.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think that if we see a similar type of game tonight where the refs let them play, I think it benefits UConn, because I think one of the weaknesses you can say is UConn really only plays 6 guys, 7 at the most. And if, you know, Edie's banging around down low and some of the guys get into foul trouble early, I think that benefits Purdue. But if the refs are swallowing the whistle and letting them play like they did in the NC State game with Purdue, then I think it benefits UConn.
Well, here's the deal. Like, if you're talking about it benefits Purdue, Donovan Klingon doesn't really foul. Donovan Klingon, like I said, this guy's an NBA talent. This guy is going to be an elite defender at the NBA level. He defends without fouling. But let's just say the whistle's heavy and they're calling fouls on these big men banging around. if you remove Donovan Klingon and Zach Edey from this game, say, okay, both these guys, you're both fouled out. You're both non-factors. You're both going to play 18 minutes in the game. I mean, that's a massive edge for Connecticut because while you're right, they don't go very deep into their rotation. What they've got on the floor outside of Zach Edey, I mean, Purdue's not even close to what UConn's got on the floor outside of Donovan Klingon. So if you take out those two big men, I mean, UConn is in a whole different league than what this Purdue team would be.
All right, so let's get some trends here as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned. And we have two number one seeds doing battle with each other. We haven't seen that since 2021, Baylor and Gonzaga. In fact, number one seeds have won 12 of the last 16 NCAA tournaments. Here's some more trends. Only twice in the last 23 years did the winning team not cover the spread, which is interesting. I mean, some people might say if you like Purdue plus the points, just take Purdue money line. And if you like UConn, you lay the points because we have 21 of 23 years that the champion has covered the spread. Favorites of three or more points, which is what UConn is, 12-5 ATS run. So that's a good run for them in the last 17 tournament final games where there's been a spread that big. How about this? Big East schools, a perfect 7-0, both straight up and ATS in the championship game since 2001. Big Ten teams, winless, 0-7 straight up and ATS. How about that?
That's a damning sign. How about that?
Because we have a Big East team against the Big Ten team. Yeah. That is pretty wild there. So, forced pick on this game, I'm laying it with UConn. This is a machine. This is a team that has covered every single tournament game they've played in the last 2 years. I'm not going against them. I do like your play on the under. I do like your play on the Purdue team total under. But I think UConn wins this. I think they cover the 7 points.
I think you're probably right. That's, I mean, a force play, that's where I'm looking at 7.
All right, let's talk about the other news in men's college basketball, which is John Calipari. It looks like he's going to be the next head coach at Arkansas. And I don't know if anybody saw this coming, AJ.
I certainly didn't. I know that John Calipari's had a longstanding relationship with the guy who's like the Tyson Chicken heir. There's a lot of money in chicken. Walmart and chicken is like the state. That's what
you tell them Southerners that no Yankee is ever coming to Texas. wasn't that George with the Tyson Chicken people?
I think so. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
but the Tyson Chicken man apparently is a big Arkansas backer and is
alcoholic chicken,
willing to throw wild money at John Calipari and says, we're going to give you everything you could possibly need. Which includes apparently an $8 million a year annual salary, which includes a $7 million a year NIL guarantee. Arkansas basketball is going to look a lot different starting tomorrow than we've known it over the last several years. I don't think you're going to get the you're not going to see 40 minutes of hell anytime soon. You're going to see a bunch of 5-stars coming in, getting their pockets filled up, and you know, they're going to try and compete the way that Kentucky's competed the last several years. Well, you know, how much will it work? I don't know. I think you got to a point with Kentucky that I feel like it was maybe time for a mutual parting of ways here. Cal's style was the way to recruit pre-NIL. And, you know, like just saying, hey, I'm going to put you in the NBA. We're going to put all the best players together and we're going to win championships. I mean, it was a really easy sell to a lot of these players. There's a lot more to it right now. And I don't know that Calipari's fully, you know, mastered that part of the game, but a $7 million a year NIL pool is certainly a nice step in getting with the times. So this is going to be a real boon for Arkansas, I think. As for Kentucky, you're Kentucky. They're going to go out and they're going to get some great coach. I've already heard some names kicked around. I've heard Scott Drews from Baylor, his name kicked around.
Rick Pitino?
I would say that'd be a dark horse. I think they want to go with someone younger and someone more proven with the NIL thing. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility. He's certainly proven himself to still be a capable coach. So his name will be kicked around. I think Bruce Pearl's name is going to be kicked around. Nate Oates from Arkansas, he's going to be kicked around. But they're Kentucky. At the end of the day, they're going to have a lot of say in who they can get. They've got a lot of options. I'm sure they're going to get a good guy, but this is only the third hire that this AD has had to make. He hired Billy Gillespie, then he hired John Calipari, and he's rolled with that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be a new era in Kentucky, and they're probably going to have to play things a little bit differently than they were doing with Cal.
One name I heard that I thought would be very interesting is Billy Donovan.
I've heard that name as well. Yeah, if they could get him from the Bulls, that'd be a big get as well. Someone said Brad Stevens. I was like, oh boy! Like if you're pulling Brad Stevens
he's
out of there,
coaching. He's in the executive suites now. He ain't going back to coaching.
That dude's got a good life. I still think Brad Stevens is like one of the. I'd say if you made like the three or four, made a list of the top three or four basketball coaches in the country, he's still on it despite not being a coach. But yeah, I don't think he's taking that job.
Yeah, no, Brad's he's like full on Pat Riley now. Like he is, he's in the executive suites. He's the president. He's not going back to coaching at all. I think it's gonna be really interesting to see what they do there at Kentucky. No matter who they get, you know, like you said, the pockets are deep and the prestige is there. They'll get anybody that they want. It's a marquee job in college basketball. Let's wrap this up and talk about the women's game. Did you watch
I watched the national championship. I watched a women's college basketball game yesterday, believe it or not.
And your thoughts? South Carolina gets revenge. They finish off the unbeaten season. They were down early. I saw Fez send out the live bet on South Carolina. I thought that was a genius move because the, you know, public was all in on Iowa. And once Iowa took that lead, you know, the books adjusted probably a little bit too much because you knew that the South Carolina team was going to come back and, you know, they proved to be just too much. I mean, Caitlin Clark's one player. South Carolina's got five players that are as good, if not better, than her.
I think they've got five players. I mean, you say five players. They might have seven players that are like, if Caitlin Clark's the best player on the floor, which a lot of people think she is, I don't know. Some of those South Carolina freshmen look like they're going to be the real deal, too. But I'd say the next seven, maybe eight players are on South Carolina's team. Like, that was the difference to me. It was like, it reminded me of when LeBron James went to his first NBA finals against the San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. And it was like LeBron and Drew Gooden going to play Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker and like this superstar team. And it's just like, you know, one person can't do this all by themselves. As good as she is, it was just overwhelming. And the thing that jumped out at you is the size.
Yeah.
Those girls at South Carolina are so big. And, I mean, it was obvious on the boards. I mean, just a dominant rebounding performance for South Carolina. And when you damn near double up someone on the glass, it's going to be hard to win anyway. And you could see Caitlin Clark at the end, like, just kind of chucking up bad shots. Like, I don't want to say, like, the weight of the moment was too much for her, but I think she was out of gas. You know, you're carrying a team as far, and not to say that those, I'm no women's college basketball expert. I'm not going to try to pretend to be, but just from what I saw, I mean, she's probably had to do a lot of the heavy lifting to get this team where it is. That does not look like a national championship caliber team to me that she's playing with. I think at the end of that, which was it was a real physical game, I think she was just beat, and you could see the shot wasn't falling for her at the end. But yeah, South Carolina was the best team. And we said this was how it was going to go. South Carolina, the money line was going to be cheap, and it was. And yeah, South Carolina just, in hindsight, do I wish I would have laid the points? Of course. My return would have been nicer, but I got as much as I could down on that money line and, you know, ended up being the right side. Also played under 32.5 points for Caitlin, and she finished with 30. Can't say I felt great about it when she had 18 in the first quarter. made it a sweat. But again, at the end of the game, when she just couldn't hit any shots, it was you could tell, man, she's just not the same player she was early in the game.
Well, there's a lot of people calling for her to not even go to the WNBA and instead stay at Iowa for another year, use that COVID eligibility, and earn herself millions in NIL.
Listen, she's going to get – you see this girl in commercials everywhere. She's the biggest star women's basketball's had in I don't even know how long. She's going to get money wherever she is. But, again, you look at what she was dealing with on that team. That is not a team that's going to win. I mean, the fact that they're even in the title game tells you that this Caitlin Clark chick is pretty special, because it just didn't, it looked like women versus girls, you know, and Caitlin Clark hitting a bunch of threes, and it was impressive, but the rest of that team is not going to be competitive enough to even to be back here where they got this year. I think it's fortunate that they made it as far as they did. It's hard for me to believe that's the second best team in the country, given what I saw yesterday.
Well, we won't have long to wait. The WNBA draft is right around the corner, April 15th in New York. The Indiana Fever with the number one overall pick, and they are expected to take Caitlin Clark number one overall. So from Iowa to Indiana, where the basketball fans will certainly still be in love with Caitlin Clark. All is set in the NBA. The Mavericks, a 147-136 overtime win over the Rockets. Luka with 37 points and 12 dimes. The Rockets eliminated from postseason competition with five straight losses, just unable to pull it together. So they have been eliminated. The Mavericks, meanwhile, they are your five seed right now in the Western Conference playoff picture. Two games ahead of the six seed Phoenix Suns. The Clippers, a 120-118 win over the Cavaliers. Clippers right now are your four seed, two games up on the Mavs. They are three games back of OKC. The Heat fall to the Pacers, 117-115. The Pacers right now are your six seed. So big win for them as they stay out of the play-in for now. They're just one game up on the Sixers. They are also one game back of the Cavaliers. Celtics, a 124-107 win over the Blazers. Thunder beat the Hornets, 121-118. Magic over the Bulls, 113-98. Raptors beat the Wizards, 130-122. Pelicans over the Suns, 113-105. Phoenix right now is your sixth seed, tied with the New Orleans Pelicans, but Phoenix does have the tiebreaker as of now. But that is a huge win for the Pelicans to try and get out of the play-in situation. Knicks beat the Bucks 122-109 as Milwaukee continues to be in a free fall. Now, how big is this win for the New York Knicks? Well, Milwaukee is the two seed right now, but they have lost four straight games, including this one to the Knicks yesterday. The Knicks are now the four seed, one game back of both Orlando and Milwaukee. So think about how huge this weekend was from a Knicks perspective. The Knicks could legit end up with the two seed in the Eastern Conference. Jalen Brunson, 43 points in the win for the Knicks. In double overtime, the Sixers beat the Spurs, 133-126. Wemby had 33 points, 18 boards. Tyrese Maxey had 52 in that game. Kings, a 107-77 rout of the Nets. Warriors beat the Jazz, 118-110. Timberwolves topped the Lakers, 127-117. Anthony Davis dealing with a little bit of an eye issue in this one. The Lakers right now are your nine seed, and they are a half game back of Sacramento for the eight. So you think about how important it is to get from nine to eight. It means you have a little extra leeway when it comes to trying to get into the playoffs. Because if you're in that 9-10 game, that's it. It's one game. It's all you got. But if you're in the 7-8 game, well, if you lose, you still have another chance. So very important for the Lakers the next couple of games to see if they can pull ahead there. Here's what's on your schedule for tonight. No games on the schedule for tonight. Why? It's the NCAA championship every single year.
Make room.
Exactly. The NCAA championship is tonight, Purdue and UConn, so the NBA takes a night off. They will resume tomorrow. AJ, for the first time this season, and in fact, the first time since 2021, the Colorado Avalanche have lost a game at home to a team playing with no rest.
Oh, man.
21 straight wins. The system. 21 straight wins came to a close last night as Dallas beat the Avs 7-4. You know, I saw somebody on Twitter, and I'm not going to mention names, but he's a pretty prominent trend guy on Twitter. You know, he's always posting trends. Look, you know, it's nice. Like, you give the people what they want, put some information out there. It's not like I'm gatekeeping this, but like I like to share things with my audience and like my audience only, you know? But this guy's a pretty popular, put some trends out on Twitter. And, you know, we've been betting this thing for like the entire season. We were 7-0. We went back to last year. This was our thing.
Yeah.
And he put it out on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, said, well, I mean.
Said 21 straight wins for the Avalanche in this role. And I said, I got a bad feeling about this.
Maybe he just doesn't listen to our show and he didn't know.
I just got, I had a bad feeling as soon as he put it out there. I was like, well, now it's going to, you know, now it's going to change. And it did. Like I said, 7-4, the Stars win. It was a 2-2 game, and then it was close, 3-2, and then a bad goal in the third period gave the Stars a 6-4 lead, and that's when I knew it was over. When it was 5-4, I thought I had a chance, but 6-4, and then the empty netter made it 7-4. So, well, all for naught there, but a huge win. Like, I mean, huge win for Dallas, because now you look at the standings and Dallas has essentially locked up the Central Division and the number one seed in the Western Conference, meaning home ice throughout the Western Conference playoffs. And they're still 3 points back of the Rangers for the President's Trophy, which would mean the most points in the entire league and home ice throughout the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. But now they're 5 points up on the Avalanche, so that is a massive win in terms for winning the division and for getting the one seed in the Western Conference. Elsewhere yesterday, Red Wings over the Sabres 3-1, Wild blanked the Blackhawks 4-0, Hurricanes a 3-0 shutout over the Blue Jackets. In overtime, Senators beat the Capitals 3-2, the Coyotes a 5-2 win over the Sharks, Predators beat the Devils 3-2 in a shootout, Rangers a 5-2 win over the Canadiens, and also in a shootout, the Blues a 6-5 win over the Ducks. So here's what your wild card standings look like right now. In the East, the Red Wings are your second wild card with 84 points. The Penguins and Capitals and Flyers all have 83 points. They are next. New Jersey, I guess 79 still in it, although they're out of it. So they haven't been mathematically eliminated yet, but we're going to say they're eliminated. The Islanders, meanwhile, with 4 straight wins, they're not even in the wild card situation anymore. The Islanders are the 3 seed in the Metropolitan Division with 85 points. Just a tremendous run by them. In the West, Vegas is your second wild card. They are 5 points up on the St. Louis Blues, but Vegas still has 2 games at hand. So it looks like that will be locked up pretty soon. Tonight, the Penguins are at the Maple Leafs, and the aforementioned Golden Knights are at the Canucks. Toronto's minus 155 over the Penguins, and Vancouver minus 120 over VGK. It is Masters Week this week, AJ, and I know our boy Will Doctor cashed a long shot winner yesterday.
He had one outright winner for the Valero Open, 65-1 to the window.
Wow.
I mean, I was glued to a golf tournament on Sunday, at least the last 3 holes of this thing, because it was a furious comeback. I mean, it was high drama. And yeah, Will Doctor, who, let's face it, Will Doctor had had a slow start to this. I mean, he finished an absurd amount of units up last year, and it's been a slow start to this season. I think he was down 31 units.
Well, when you win 65 in one day, it's, yeah.
Well, I think he actually won 69 in this tournament. Okay. So he's plus 38 now for the year. So back on track for our boy Will Doctor. And I'm sure we'll have him on SOV this week to discuss the Masters.
Yeah, Tiger Woods looking to return and make the cut. So we'll have plenty of Masters stuff going on this week. It's UFC 300 also this week. So we'll get some fight previews going on as well.
Yeah, no doubt. A massive card for UFC 300. Brendan Allen beat Chris Curtis in their rematch on Saturday night. Close fight, a split decision, in fact. But that was just the appetizer. We've got 2 official title fights and 1 made-up title fight on the card for Saturday. We've got Charles Oliveira and Arman Tsarukyan, which isn't even a title fight, but it's going to be incredible. We've got Bo Nickel on the card. I mean, this is just a top to bottom, a really fantastic card. So yeah, we'll be all over that as the week goes on, and there'll be a full separate podcast for a Best Bets podcast with Sleepy J and myself coming up this week as well.
Oh, Bo Nickel, just your average minus 1400 favorite. You know, it's just
no big deal. No big deal. Oh, boy. And there's like the new Bo Nickel is right behind him. I was watching. You'll make fun of me for this. This is probably not normal behavior. I was watching some freestyle wrestling, like trials.
Okay.
And there's a high school kid who technical decisioned an NCAA champion, like ragdolled.
Wow.
An NCAA champion. I mean, this is this kid. He's 17 years old. His name's Bo Bassett. And when I say technical, like if you get up by 10 on an opponent in freestyle, you win by mm-hmm. technical decision. I mean, he is one match away from an Olympic trials berth at 17 years old. So,
wow.
These are the kind of kids that MMA guys look at and go, oh, can he throw a punch? Because if he can, yeah. My God, this guy is money for days.
And by the way,
his name happens to be Bo. That yeah. helps.
I misspoke. So that minus 1,400 for Bo Nickel is on the spread, minus 3.5 points. But the money line on Bo Nickel is minus 2,400.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck. I think the minus 3.5 points actually may be value on that. That may be my Fez bridge jumper bet is telling people to bet the minus 3.5 points.
No, but if he wins by a submission, then it doesn't count, right?
You win automatically.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. You get a lesser payout, but you win automatically. Like it, so, it's
oh,
not
so
a bad
the points.
Deal.
You're right. The point spread is a winning bet if they win by a KO or a submission.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, and if it goes to the decision, he's clearly going to win by 3.5 points because no one's getting points on Bo Nickel. No one's getting points on him. All right. Well, here's a code for you to save some money at pregame.com. Right now, you can use our promo code on any purchase you'd like to save 20%. It's real simple. You just go to pregame.com. Go to checkout, buy picks, whatever you want to buy, whether it's a single package or you want to get an all access or anything you'd like, take 20% off using the promo code SHINE20. SHINE, SHINE20 tonight. It is one shining moment for the NCAA championship. So SHINE20 is going to get you 20% off any purchase at pregame.com. And if you're looking for more sports betting content, including free picks, highlights, viral videos, and breaking news, make sure to follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram, and more. It's at pregame now, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at pregame TV. Again, SHINE20, save 20% off at pregame.com. Ray J. Hoffman, I'm Scott Seidenberg. We are Straight Out of Vegas AM.